chance for Sean Mackey to strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
Last week on Falkirk Daft, we left you with the words, "We don't lose, we learn." And by God, did we learn. As Russell Atapi arrived back at the stadium, the magician was back, and he cast magic across that pitch yesterday, as it was Falkirk 5, Kilmarnock 1, and one of the performances of the season. Hello, welcome to Falkirk Daft. I am your host, John McAnally, joined by ever as with the Ginger Gordon Pod, Ross Wayne.
Hello, pal. I'm tired.
Tired and emotional.
Yeah, it was a brilliant day, and I know I said it yesterday, although I have showered since. I really didn't want to have to wash myself after hugging Russell Atapi yesterday. But I have.
We were in a very lucky position yesterday. It was a mad day for myself and Ross yesterday. We probably saw a lot of you yesterday because we're here, there and everywhere. We were in the fan zone to start off the day, and then we had the absolute delight to welcome Russell to the fan zone. You'll see the picture in the background there. Chatted to him on stage in the fan zone, did a wee bit of game Falkirk Daft in there versus had great. That's first time being in the fan zone, really enjoyed it. I think the setup's changed slightly now, is that right?
It has. It was previously the stage was like at the side of the marquee, but now it's at the end, which is like sort of the stages in front of the huge Blue Army flag. So yeah, I think it's a really good setup now.
Yeah, no, I really liked it, really, really good. So I know I definitely encourage you getting down to the fans. It looks great as well, I have to say, with all the pictures across the wall, the big backdrop of the flag. Absolutely sensational stuff. So no, I really enjoyed that, and obviously delight to talk to Russell Atapi and touch him. So that was great. And then we were over to the Ladies' Day at the 1876 Lounge, and that was carnage.
Yes, 120 very drunk or drunken women, and they were having an absolute blast in the lounge yesterday.
Yeah.
And obviously, eventually, when the players came in as well, they all got accosted. So fair play.
Absolutely. It was a bit like, I think someone said it was a bit like, remember when we beat Hamilton and everyone was at the side of the pitch waiting for pitch invasion? Like the players came into the lounge and all the ladies were like that, just waiting.
And
just
like, hold.
I know, it was like that way. I was just like, we started chatting to them because just kind of all the squad came in and started interviewing Henry Cartwright about the game and stuff. And I thought, do you know what? And they're like, even called Dawson and say, "You ran out of questions there, didn't you?" And I was like, "Aye." I was just at my point, on you go, ladies. There you go, through the players, the crowd, the ladies, and obviously everyone was having their piece of them. And poor Barney Stewart, I don't think, got out of there for about an hour or so.
He was the last one to leave, wasn't he?
I know he was. I know, and everyone accosting Henry Cartwright as well. It was a shame. That's the first time I'd met Henry, and I wanted to talk about his magnificent arse, which again was on show yesterday. but no, it was a good day. And then it was onward to the Enshida for the Russell Atapi and Scott Arfield evening, which we were hosting. And by the way, what a great night it was. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And if you were there, hope you enjoyed it too. Some brilliant stories from, you know, both Russell and Scott. Just very honest, open conversation, brilliant stuff about Yogi. Just Russell, just honestly brilliant, just like it sensational, because I've never met him before and I didn't know what to expect, and I thought, okay, maybe he's going to be a bit quiet or whatever, but it was just great. His stories and his part are tremendous. He's so laid back, and I think he was about, by the time we got on stage, he was about 8 whiskies deep. So he was in good form.
He was brilliant, and as you said, the stories from both him and Scott around their time at the club, the players who they played with, the influence of Yogi Chipper as well. You had a few voice notes that you were able to play for them with some questions from Chipper and Scott McKenzie and
Gordon DL, who's Scott Arfield's biggest fan, by the way. But no, it was great. And honestly, what a night. And a lot of the feedback I've had actually this morning has been really, really positive on it. And a lot of people saying, you know, that's a really nice way of doing it, because there was like a wee turn on doing Lisa McKechnie, who was on doing some tunes, and there was music in the background. Grado was there. Him doing the auction.
He was fantastic doing the auction as well, wasn't he?
And you got duped by him as well. You ended up buying a Scott Arfield print, Ross.
Well, it's an original painting. Yeah,
yeah, it was.
Really, really chuffed. A brilliant picture. I don't know where it's going yet, but definitely. I think I'm probably going to put it up in here. I do have a little, but you can't see it on camera, so that's the only thing. I might need to play about with the room, but it is phenomenal.
I got my old the only kind of top that both Russell and Scotty played on together was that 2007-08 top with the Highland. We switched back to the Highland badge to mark the 50th anniversary of the Scottish Cup one. So I got them to sign that both, so that will be getting framed and put up as well. So no, great night, really mad day for the two of us. You could probably hear it in my voice at one point was about to go, because there was about 500 prizes in the raffle at Ladies Day, and I'm just like sitting there for about half an hour reading out numbers, screaming on the microphone. So I hope if we saw you had a great day, whether that was in the fan zone at Ladies Day or at the Scott Arfield and Russell Appy night. It was great to meet a lot of podcast listeners, and funnily enough, a lot of people listened to it, which is surprising. Absolutely amazing. So thank you so much for that.
So that means
we're completely winging it today, Ross. So I don't think there's club news this week. I don't think we've seen any kind of shifts in club news. A lot of rumours flying about that Dylan Tate might have signed a pre-contract with QPR. I don't know if this is true or not. It's just it's what you're hearing in the concourses at half-time at the moment that Dylan is signed. Again, Craig Sybald, rumours that if it was Dylan to go, and, you know, if he can go and, I've always said, if you can go and better yourself, make more money for your family, 100% do that. So if Dylan was to go, that would be a real shame, because we'll talk about his performance just against Kilmarnock in a bit. But rumours that Craig Sybald's obviously signed a pre-contract as well. And I was hearing yesterday it could be a goer, which would be immense. Craig Sybald,
I think it would be,
we talk about Scott Harper, we talk about Russell Lattipe, imagine Sibs pulling the navy blue back on.
It would be brilliant. He's for anyone who watched the Falkirk Dundee United game a couple of weeks back. I know we were a little bit off it that day, but Craig Sybald absolutely ran that show in the middle of the park as well. Listen, you don't want to lose Dylan. You want to have Dylan Tate and potentially Craig Sybald on your starting 11 or team lineup. But that is a strong rumor. Like, obviously, when you and I talk about strong rumors, we don't mean as in from the club, because obviously not. They do keep everything really, really tight. But what we were hearing in the fan zone yesterday, in the lounge yesterday, and then Shira last night, was all the talk was about the fact that Craig is apparently either very close to signing a pre-contract or has already, and it might get announced after the cup tie next weekend. So
God, that would be amazing. That would be very excited if that was the case. But and obviously on the injury front as well, not great news this week. Obviously Louis Marsh looks like he's about 6 to 8 weeks. I can't see him, you can't see him pulling on a Falkirk jersey again. If it is 8 weeks, you look at the timeline for that, it would be very difficult for him to get back up to speed, and then, which is a real shame, because he obviously came, scored a couple of goals and showed real glimpses of what he could do as well, which is, maybe we get him back on loan next season.
Maybe. Obviously, if the 8 weeks is going to be quite accurate, that's going to take to what, the end of April, start of May. There aren't many games left after that at all.
Scottish Cup final, maybe he'll be back for that.
Potentially Scottish Cup final, plus 3 or 4 games in the post-split, so you never know. Lovely lad. We've only met him once, I think. We met him in the lounge one night. Haircut aside, he's got to be a huge miss.
No, absolutely. And Kyrie Wilson, I had heard it was maybe a month that he was going to, but it seems that he might be okay for Dundee United, maybe, according to John's interview.
Yeah, that's positive as well. Although after yesterday, he might not get a starting spot against Dundee United anyway.
Well, I know. It's going to be hard getting back into that team now after yesterday's performance. Incredible. We'll talk about that just in a bit with our guest pundit this week, who is Stevie Jackson. If you know Stevie, legend of the game is Stevie. Hospitality Lounge used to do it. It was back to Bairns. Stevie did as well, wasn't he? He was involved with that.
Yeah, he was in his time as a Falkirk fan. He has been a bus convener for the Roman Bar. He's been a fans rep on the board. He's been a huge part of the Bairns Trust back in the day as well. And for those that have been in hospitality over the years, Stevie's one of the boardroom the boardroom hosts and does a fantastic job there as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But let's get into birthday corner out, Ross, will we?
Yes, good idea, John Boy. Good idea. So we've got a few. The first one we want to say is actually a bit of a belated birthday because his birthday was on Friday to our guest pundit from last week, Mr. Lewis Connolly.
That was a poor show from us, by the way. He's on the podcast and we completely forgot to wish happy birthday to Luby. So happy birthday, Luby. He was out, I think, having a few wee drinks last night. He didn't get into the Arfield Lappy night, but no, it was good to see him yesterday, and happy birthday, Lewis Connolly, everyone.
Yes, happy 58th birthday.
Don't look a day under it. Hi, Ross and John, I've got two birthdays for you this week, if that's okay. Can I shout out, first of all, happy birthday, Eddie Coon, legend of the game, dad of Kieran Coon, head of the Ultras. His birthday is on Friday, the 6th of March, same day as the Dundee United game. And happy birthday to Chloe as well. I'm assuming this is from Andrew Welsh, Ross.
It is indeed, yes, there it was. Go. Yes, his daughter Chloe's, her birthday's this weekend as well.
Yeah, so happy birthday to both Eddie and Chloe.
Amazing. Hi guys, could you also wish a happy birthday to Brian Goldie? And it's his 36th birthday on the 7th of March, which I think is Saturday this week coming. And that's from Ian Blair, Ross Murray and Clover the Doug.
Ah, yes, go on Clover the Doug. Doug mentions, I'm all for it, you know me. And all has a happy birthday. Evan Balfour on the 2nd of March. Evan was a guest pundit on here. The Sean Mackey look like he is. I saw him actually in the stand yesterday. I just tapped him on the shoulders. All right, Sean. And just walked away. But happy birthday to Evan. And that's from Wally, Harrison and Flynn. There you go. Brilliant.
Good stuff.
And that is your birthdays for today. If you want a birthday shout out, just slide into our DMs. That would be great. Oh, I've got an update on the cricket, Ross. You'll be delighted to hear. It's all coming together. Right. We now have a date for the game. 29th of May, Stenismuir Cricket Club, Friday night, Falkirk Daft Select versus Stenismuir Social Team. It's all happening. And I think we've got players who had lots of interest. If you do want to play the cricket game on the 29th of May, get in touch. We might get to the point where I might, you know, you can be the manager, obviously, Ross. You can manage the cricket side. And by manage, I mean sit and drink pints.
Someone who knows nothing about cricket.
Sit and drink pints on a sunny Friday night, which you're hoping it will be.
I'm all right with that.
You know, it's the week before it's the week after the Scottish Cup final as well. So hopefully we'll have sobered up by then.
That would be awesome. So yeah, Dave White, who has got in touch with us already about, he's got another name for us, John, who is a huge cricketer that's involved with the Falkirk Foundation. And he tapped me in the fan zone yesterday as well. So that's another person.
We've got another player for the cricket team. It's all happening. Indeed. Falkirk Daft versus Stenismuir, 28th of May. I'll be in touch with all my cricketers to get the team together, and basically what we'll do is we'll just get pissed and have a laugh anyway, so it should be a good laugh.
Absolutely.
So thanks to John McNeil at Stenismuir Cricket Club for reaching out, and we'll have a good go of that on the 29th of May. Okay, and let's talk about Falkirk's performance against Kilmarnock. I can't wait to talk about this, and let's talk about it in the company of the main man, Stevie Jackson.
Hello, John and Ross, how are we doing?
Yeah, there he is, look at him. Look at him there. We won't talk about your operation, which I think we were talking about the last time you were on this podcast, Stevie.
Yes, It's all done well. Everything's fine.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm really happy to hear that. If you don't know what we're talking about, go back into the archives and listen to the last time Stevie was on. Before we talk about the game, I've got to say thank you so much for our episode sponsor this week, Carpet Ways. They are a Falkirk business. Did you know that? I bet you didn't. Started in Falkirk 25 years ago, celebrating their 25th anniversary in the town. Started by Phil Kelly and is now run by his son, Phil Kelly Jr. And they've been in Falkirk for 25 years. They recently won Scotland's Best Business Award for Best Multi-Site Flooring Carpet Business in Scotland. I didn't even know that was an award, but well done, Carpet Ways, and winning the Best Multi-Site Flooring Carpet Business in Scotland. And you're running a brilliant deal just now, £799 for a full house deal. That's exclusive to Falkirk. What a deal, but your whole carpets are going to get done for £800. What? That's amazing.
Did they do laminate as well? Because I need some new laminate.
I think they probably do, Ross. And you know what you can do? You can go and check that out for yourself. Carpetways.com/Falkirk. They're on Burnbank Road. You know where Burnbank Road? It's just off Graham's Road. And they share the space with the sofas. So you can get your flooring sorted, get your sofa sorted. Ross, you were moaning about... Ross has spent a fortune on sofas recently. You should have got yourself into Lazy Day sofas. Next to Carpet Ways. And you could have got your laminate sorted, you could have got your sofa sorted as well. So there you go. They're also offering free home measure for the estimator's going to come out, measure up your rooms. No messing about. They'll give you the best price, and you can book that online at the website as well, carpetways.com/Falkirk. Get on there, get yourself carpets, get sorted. Thank you, Carpet Ways, for sponsoring Falkirk Daft this week. And let's talk now about Falkirk versus Kilmarnock. Sorry to keep you on hold, Stevie, there. We had to do a bit of the business.
No problem.
Right. Well, I'm glad you're here to talk about it, Stevie. We've been itching to talk about it. It was Falkirk 5, Kilmarnock 1. What a time to be a Bairn. It was incredible. A couple of changes to the side. Ross, Liam Henderson coming back in. No surprises there, really.
No, not really. Hendo's been an absolute standout this season at every minute he's played. And he obviously wasn't able to play due to a controversial situation prior to that, which we won't go over again. But yeah, he was hugely missed, and it was great to see him back.
Obviously, Stevie as well, injuries to Kyrie Wilson, so he didn't start. So Finn Yeats came back into the side.
What a replacement he turned out to be. Absolutely brilliant yesterday. I was interviewing him after the game, and he said he had a point to prove, and I think yesterday definitely made that point. Just thought he was awesome during the whole game.
Yeah, Louis Marsh out as well. Ben Brosio, I can't remember. Did Ben start against Hearts? I don't think he did he?
No, he came on as a sub against Hearts, that's right.
Yeah, so Ben went back into the side as well, and much of it was, meant Lisa moved back out to right back, and bloody hell, what a game. We could talk about everyone yesterday, because everyone was absolutely out of this world. But that was your Falkirk starting 11, and what a start we made. Bloody hell, off out the traps. You know, I think John McGuinn always expects a response. We've not been beaten 3 times in a row all season. And what a response we got, Ross, straight off the mark. Calvin Miller down that left-hand side, ball into the box, own goal, Kilmarnock.
You know, even if the lad hadn't put it in his own net, you had Finn Yeats, who was literally waiting to tap it home as well. So I think it was going to be a goal regardless. But as you said, like, we started so well, the intensity was there. We went straight forward from kickoff as well. That's a huge stat, though, that we've not been beaten more than 2 times in a row this season. We do tend to bounce back. And I think Kilmarnock had been playing very, very well the last couple of months since Neil McCann took over. So I probably did expect them to be a tough opposition yesterday. I don't know why I was worried, because we alleviated that.
You were shitting yourself before the match.
I don't know if I was shitting myself, but I certainly thought it was going to be a tougher afternoon than it was, just purely based on how Kilmarnock had been. We were missing a couple of players as well. But I think for me, how we started, we were relentless, and that is how we continued through the rest of the game as well.
Absolutely. Do you know what, Stevie, my favourite bit about that Kilmarnock own goal was basically the guy just, as soon as he touched the ball, put his head to his hands and just went, shit, that's going in.
think the sad thing from my point of view was that I never actually seen it. We were still tidying up in the boardroom at the time. So kind of just heard the big cheer and thought, oh, what happened? But everybody was saying it was Barnley that scored the goal. And I was like, oh, great, what a fantastic return. And then obviously, having seen it, it's definitely an own goal.
Oh, there's no doubt it's an own goal. It's absolutely unbelievable. And then obviously, talking about Barney there, we have the ball in the net again 5 minutes later. And for the fucking life of me, I have still no idea how that goal was chopped off. People are saying it was offside. People are saying Liam Henderson was obstructing the goalkeeper. No one can make their decision up. But if it was offside, why was the referee called to the monitor? And if it apparently was a foul against Henderson, it clearly wasn't really at all. He was standing in front of the goalkeeper. He wasn't touching the goalkeeper. The goalkeeper ran into him.
Yeah. What confused me was, as you said, they've said it's for offside. How many times does a ref go over to the video for an offside? Almost never, because they use the lines. Having watched the highlights back quite late last night when we got back in, the lines made no sense to me at all.
No.
Did you see it?
I saw it.
Like, the line was going through, like, a body of about 20 people. Right,
and I was like, it's never offside. I was just like, it's not offside.
It was not offside. And then there's others saying, oh, well, it's because Hendo's challenged the keeper. But it wasn't, because the ref put his arm straight up to signal that it was offside.
The strange one for me was the lines, when it showed you the lines, and then it had the wee arrow pointing up the way as well.
Yeah.
The guy's elbow. Uh-huh. Like, as if it was his elbow that was kind of like, putting them offside, which it looked a strange one, a really strange one. But
very, very bizarre.
But 3 or 4 minutes as well.
Took ages. And it was such a strange decision. And I mean, luckily we didn't, you know, it didn't count against us effectively. But like, what? I mean, just really, really bizarre VAR. I'll be want to see what Willie has to say that on the Willie show when he does it at the end of the month. I bet it won't even get talked about, because it was just a wild mental decision. But anyway, it robbed Barney of a goal. It was a great header from Barney, showing how strong and big Barney is, and getting up there amongst it and winning the header and putting it in the back of the net. But listen, it didn't really matter, because he didn't really have to. He got his goals. We'll talk about them in a minute. But Dylan Tate was next on the score sheet. Barney could have had it. I actually thought, when I was in the ground, I thought, that wee shite Dylan Tate's just stolen a goal from Barney, because I couldn't see it because it was in through a crowd of body. But it was a good save from the goalkeeper, and Dylan's there just to tap it in. But I thought it was going in, and it was like Dylan was just annoying and tapped it in, but it wasn't to be.
It did look like that from our angle, though. It did look like that.
But it was a good save from the goalkeeper, from Barney, and Dylan Tate. He's been due a goal, Stevie, hasn't he?
Yeah, I thought he was absolutely brilliant yesterday. We'll go into that later on. But I mean, he has been, for me, he's been bossing games quite a lot with Brad Spencer there. So the two of them together, I think the two of them are absolutely brilliant. Like, I mean, in fact, actually yesterday, I know you spoke to Russell Latipe. Russell said that the midfield's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
They play some really good football. He did add on at the very end, but he says, but I'd still get a game.
I was actually shouting at one point when we were absolutely pumping. Come on, I was like, bring Russell on for a laugh. Come on, that'll be a bit of banter.
He's still looking fit, but as you've seen, he still looks pretty fit. Like, but I don't think he's got the legs anymore.
Oh, mate, Russell Lappy doesn't have to be fit. He was never the fittest. He smoked a day or whatever.
As Scott Arfield said last night, Russell used to do the same amount of running as every other player. However, his was always within a 10-yard radius of the middle of the park.
Well, exactly. I always used to say that he played in the centre circle. He was the greatest centre circle player the world's ever seen. Just give him the ball, he done the bit, and then passed it to somebody who'd scored a goal.
Absolutely. But I know, listen, it was an absolutely exceptional performance. And again, like, we were just, again, the word relentless is something we've used for Falkirk for about 3 years now. And it was, I mean, we were flying against Kilmarnock like we did against them at the stadium the last time, and then it was 3-0. Cole Donaldson, and by the way, Cole Donaldson obviously was back, retained his place in the side, and do you know what? It was just a real comfort moment of seeing Cole Donaldson and Liam Henderson back together for the first time. What must be, oh Christ, I don't know how long, the last time Cole and Liam played together at centre half. And I thought Call was excellent again yesterday.
He was excellent.
And you know what? I like that dynamic with Henderson and Call as well. It's like one will go forward, one will stay. Like sometimes you saw later on in the game, Liam Henderson charging forward. But Call, I mean, he's a good footballer, Call, as well as being a great centre-half. I mean, wins loads in the air. Like, and he was outstanding again today. And he set up the goal for Barney as well. Just one of these ones that's just, he's fired the cross. It's not been floaty. It's not been one of those. He's just fired the cross and Barney's just went bang, boom, 3-0.
Was it a cross or did
you?
No,
I think it was a shot.
Chance. That was a cross. 100% a cross. There's no chance that it was not a shot. Of course, it's a cross. You both are saying a shot.
I think it was a shot.
It was a cross, man. Absolute cross. And Barney just there, and it's just delightful the way it's fallen to him, and he just went boom. 3-0.
Brilliant header. Superb header.
My God, this boy is going to make us a lot of money, isn't he? Jesus.
When you think I think he's got the potential to do that. Like, there's still one or two wee things he's a wee bit raw in, but he knows that himself. He's got that centre-forward position that he knows where to be.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, and I seen a wee bit at the end with Brian Graham coming over and giving him a big hug. I'm sure Brian's helping him.
It was an interesting conversation in the stand. I don't know where you guys stand this. We were talking about it yesterday. It's like Brian Graham's got a year option on his contract. I don't know if that's with the club or with Brian himself, but someone said to me, would you keep Brian for another year? And I said, aye. And do you know why we keep Brian? Because he'll bring Barney on with him. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? We've called it the Brian Graham learning tree. And I do think like Brian will bring players like Barney and players in that number nine, because Barney is turning himself into a right good number nine now. You know, when you look at, say, we're getting beyond ourselves, but the Scotland setup, obviously, Lyndon Dykes is a very similar to player and plays in a very similar way to what Barney does. But, you know, Barney's got the youth. He's got time to grow as a footballer. And, you know, you wouldn't be surprised if in years to come that you see, I'm going to say it, if you see Barney in a Scotland top, he's obviously started his journey with the under-21s, he will develop, he will bounce on, and I do think Brian Graham could be a really important part in that process, I think.
I totally agree. I think I too would keep Brian on, not just for his coaching side of things, but you saw yesterday he was very close to getting on the end of a really good cross in the second half of that little flick.
Oh, that little flick would have been delicious if it had went in.
Yeah, and he has that in him. He's a striker who's in the right place at the right time normally, and Barney is 100% getting that from him as well.
Yeah, I mean,
my wife watched the highlights last night. My wife, who's not really into football, and she's seen Brian a few times, like, and she says, is he maybe taking over the new Scott Arfield role of kind of like the older kind of player monitoring the younger players and sort of doing that? And I think he's got a role to do that as well. Like, I mean, he's an experienced professional who's been around, so he's a good sort of guy to look up to and get things from.
100%. I mean, we did let one go just before half time. It was a poor goal. I'm pretty sure John will be having the video out on Monday and making them watch back the goal they could see. It was I don't know where the midfield was MIA when Kilmarnock went forward. I was like, where are they? There was no one there, and there was like this big gap in the middle of the pitch. So I don't know where Dylan and Brad had went MIA to, but I mean, the boy had that option to the right, and then just Greg Kilty's just hit a shot. I don't think Scott Bain had much of a chance of that, Ross.
No, when you see it from the behind the goals, I think we've left Scott Bain so exposed. It was a good strike. Scott probably will watch it back and maybe feel a little bit disappointed, because it almost goes in the middle of the goals. But it was just the angle of the way.
I don't know if it looked like it was pretty much far away from him and it went in the side net.
Well, I think Scott was kind of heading towards the west side of the goals, and it just kind of moved away.
The west side of the goals. I've never heard goalkeepers described as west and east.
No, it was at the west stand side of the goals. Sorry,
the right or the left, I've heard, but he went to his west side. He went to his east side.
I meant the West Stand side, that's what I was thinking. Listen, it was a long day yesterday and I'm shattered. But I think we left them very, very exposed. And but I think you're right. I think John will probably be more annoyed the fact that whilst it didn't affect us, it was a goal back for them just before half time. And probably everyone in the stadium were having the same conversations at half time. Whoever gets the next goal will probably go on and do something, because if Kelly get it and it goes 3-2, it gets a little bit nervous, but it wasn't them, thankfully.
No, of course it wasn't. We have Barney Stewart. The Barney Army was in full voice and Barney was absolute form. Calvin Miller, we've not talked about Calvin Miller. Obviously, you know, intrinsic in the... I thought Calvin actually had a quiet game and I was like, ah, oh, he's actually set up two goals. Today, I thought Calvin was a bit on his kind of high standard. I thought that he was cool, but you've got to give him the assist for the own goal, and then he gets a brilliant assist for Barney's goal. And that is me going, aye, Calvin's had a quick, oh, he's had two assists, aye, right enough. Great work from him again down the left hand side, great ball in, and Barney again, brilliant number nine play, great finish. We saw it against Hibs. How he's getting himself into these positions, and just, you know, if Calvin starts, keeps delivering, if Ben starts delivering on the other side, or Ethan, or Kyrell, Barney's going to be there to tap them home, and that's exactly what he did, Stevie.
He did, man. I mean, as I said, he's a kind of, he's turning into a real good number nine. He knows where he's to be, and again, another Brian Graham type goal, isn't it, inside the 6 yard box. And there was just one thing before you go on there, I was a wee bit worried about Barney in the first half with that tackle. Came in and he looked in a lot of pain, and then he hurt his back just after that. And then I thought, oh, this could be bad. But no, he came back onto it. And as I say, he's in the box, he's heading, and he knows where the ball's going to be, and he knows where he's going to be. And I think Brian Graham's got to take a lot of credit for that as well. He's probably telling him, you know, get yourself in there. But fantastic, fantastic again. But you noticed as well, when he scored, he ran over to Calvin and he was giving it the point at him, you know, like he made the goal. So I don't agree with you that he had a quiet game. I think he contributed quite a bit to the game.
I was shocked, Stevie, see on that, and we'll call him out because we don't know if he listens to the podcast anyway, but Stevie Tate on our group chat says he thought Miller had a poor first half, and I'm sitting going, What am I reading here on this text message? And to be fair to him, he did eat humble pie during the second half, after the setup of Barney's goal. But yeah, I agree. I thought, listen, Calvin did Calvin things. He's such a superb all-round player. He always looks dangerous, and his crossing is just superb.
Yeah, it did. I mean, we only had to wait another 5 minutes. A second Dylan take goal, like buses to come around for Dylan. He's, you know, I think he was quite frustrated with himself when we certainly spoke to him in the lounge about getting adding more goals to his game. I think that's what John wanted him to do, and he certainly did in this game. Quite similar to the Kilmarnock one that we kind of conceded, but there he kind of had all the room in the world in that midfield just to strike forward, and he did the old stud roll, copyright Connor Allen, and just fired one. I saw in Sports Scene Steve Thompson's think it was a mishit. I was just like, he's absolutely 100% managed to hit it that way. Yeah. Meant to hit it that way. And Dylan, again, just like, he was involved in the build-up. There was a great bit of where he just went by the boy, and just, Dylan, he's a proper, proper good player, Dylan Tate. I mean, he really is. I did think, though, after he did score his second goal, I don't think he made a pass to a man after that. He was trying all these wee passes into the middle and around the sides. So I don't think he actually found a man after he scored his second goal.
Do you know think, John, that Brad Spencer had gone off at that point?
Yeah.
And I think he plays with Brad. He plays fantastically with Brad. But then when Brad went off, he kind of like was losing a wee bit.
I think he had an absolute stinker after he actually scored his second goal. But
he was so close, though. Was it Ethan Ross later on in the game had a pop from the edge of the box that he could have played in Dylan, and if looks could kill, Dylan's look to Ethan Ross, because he was in a fantastic position.
He's already had a hat trick this season, Dylan. Do you know what I mean?
Just going back to Stevie's point about Brad, obviously Brad did go off. He was on a booking. as we know. And I think we should talk about the booking, because obviously
I've not seen this, but I've heard, I didn't see this, but somebody said he sprayed Neil McCann with a water bottle.
So Smudger and Neil McCann had a bit of a falling out over, I think it was Barney was down. I think Falkirk felt that the Kelly player should have, well, the refs should have stopped the game, or Kelly should have put it out. So I think it was a bit of a heated argument. Stevie Hogan.
I saw Stevie Hogan. If you don't know who Stevie is our, he's got lots of hair now. He's had a wee operation. I've just outed Stevie in his podcast. Fuck it. But he's like, what's Stevie operational? I can't mind. But what Stevie will know, Jackson will know better. What's Stevie Hogan's full title?
He's helping out with Keith. So he's like an operations manager, match day operations manager. So he's now, instead of Keith coming down to the front, Stephen's down the front and Keith's kind of at the back.
Keith's like the overseer of everything in the match command. He's like God up there.
Stephen's a tackler, as he's done before.
Yeah, against Dundee, where he absolutely nailed it. Oh, Stevie used to play rugby as well, so you know he knows how to do it. But no, I saw Stevie having a go with Neil, having a confab with Neil McCann. I'm like, what's going on here? So Brad Spencer sprayed Neil McCann water.
But I don't think he hit him really, though. I think he just kind of skooshed it towards him, because Brad was obviously just at the side having a drink, having a laugh. He was smiling as well, because I'm sitting watching this. And then he always, you know, it's like you take a drink and then he just went, like, scooshed it, and it went towards McCann. McCann's just, like, lost the plot and starts now marching towards Brad Spencer, who's walking away. And then, obviously, the ref gives him a yellow card for it. You're like, come on. There was some shocking tackles yesterday that didn't get a yellow card, yet he books Brad for scooshing a bit of water.
Aye. The ref was he was okay. He was fine. He was absolutely, I thought he was all right. But there was some just tackles and like the Kamara were getting away. And you think that why is that not a yellow card? There was some occasions, but listen, the referee didn't have much to do in terms of, apart from that really bizarre Barney Stewart decision, which we'll need to get to the bottom of. But aye, there you go. Dylan Tate completing the 5-1. Boom. What a, and it didn't stop there, Stevie, because Jesus Christ, we could have went on to win it 6-7, 8-0. Ben Brosio going through, hitting the post, and then God knows
the post as well.
Yeah, God knows how that didn't go in after that Ben Brosio chance. Like, Barney was at the back. Kel Roos had an outstanding save from Barney as well. There was an unbelievable save in that. It was actually in the first half. We didn't talk about that. The save that Kel Roos had from Barney, it was an incredible save. It was almost like one of these ones that just clawed it back off the line, you know. And then the Ben Brosio chance, Barney could have had his trap trick at that back post and try and get the ball across the line. And it was just chance after chance. And then you say, Ross, Finn Yeats getting involved. I mean, Finn Yeats again, Stevie, you were remarking at the start, you know, coming into 10, and he just offers so much energy, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I thought yesterday, when you're looking at a man of the match, and we'll come on to that later on, but he wasn't far away from it. There was a few of them that weren't far away from it. But yesterday he said he had a point to prove, and he felt that yesterday he did make that point. But I was saying about him, he's signing the new contract, and he says he's delighted to sign a new contract as well. Like, you know, he was delighted with that. He loves it at Falkirk, and he feels he's got a lot to offer the club. And I just think he's a fantastic player. Like, he's a really, really good player as well. They're all turning out to be great players.
Oh, I know. They're all brilliant. There were so many good performances on that pitch yesterday. I've just got to keep mentioning Phil Weiser. I mean, Big Phil at right back is an absolute Rolls Royce of a player, and he's now quickly turning. He's quickly turned into not only the lone 11, I cannot think, and I'll be proved wrong on this, of a better right back than Phil Weiser. It is unbelievable, and I mean, Keelan's great. Keelan's really good as well, but like, he is a Rolls Royce, Lisa, and he will go on, like, mark my words. I mean, it's going to be a shame, because we're not going to be able to keep him next season at all. There will be, for example, remember the guy, the young lad, Owen Bradley, I can't remember, it was at Dundee, played left back, was a really standout performance, then Celtic tried to sign him and the deal fell away. I've got a funny feeling the same thing's going to happen to Lisa, that there will be clubs like a Celtic, like a Rangers. I don't know, but maybe he's just below that. Maybe it's a Hearts or Hibs. I don't know. Because if
even
Swansea don't fancy him...
after them, even teams down south will be after them.
I do think people look at his performances and go, Jesus Christ. If Swansea, you know, it could be one of those... I suspect Swansea want to have a look at him because there's no way we're getting him again next season because he's just so impressive. And like yesterday, he just strolls through games. Like, he honestly just strolls through it. So good with the ball, so good at defending, puts himself about, whether that's at centre-half, left-back, right-back. He's played right across the middle all season, and he's just a wonderful, wonderful footballer, and I can't rave about this guy. I think the biggest accolade I can give him is that if I was going for my Falkirk all-time 11, I think I might have him in at right-back because I'm going like, who, I mean, you could say Davy Weir, because he played right back when he was with us. But I'm honestly...
It's kind of amazing when you think about it, because he's actually a centre-half, eh?
I know, yeah. I know.
So, and he's playing right back, but a couple
he was
of weeks ago...
brilliant at fucking left back as well. Just remember those big dags.
We had the boys over for the Czech Republic.
All right, yeah.
And they were having a look at him as well, because apparently he's got Czech kind of like connections.
All
and
right.
they were over having a look at him as well. Like, so and they were very impressed at the end of the game. Outstanding player. Be great if we could get him in a permanent deal, but I just don't
no
think
chance.
We've got that kind of cash.
Absolutely no chance.
That's millions upon
absolutely no chance. But honestly,
see that, that dummy yesterday as well. Like, it was so sexy.
Oh, Joey, that is so good. He's
and then
so
he turns and gets the ball as he turns. Oh, it was just, I could watch
oh,
that.
Oh, no, geez, we're sitting here, we're getting very excited about Philip Lisa.
I said to him at the last game, I said, another man of the match. I says, you get that many? He says, I'm getting fed up with the Inshira. He says, I'm down there all the time now that somebody actually asked me if I'd joined. Like, that's going to get the prize for man of the match is a spaddy at the Inshira.
Oh, I'm
there that often now. I feel like a member.
Oh, is that what the man of the match gets? I didn't realise that. They get a wee day the Inshira. Nice.
We spied day at the Inshira.
Yeah,
do you remember back in the day, the man of the match used to get a voucher, £100 voucher for Exit Quest?
That's right, yeah.
I'd be good, by the way.
I would rather have that.
They used to have some good clobber in the Exit and Quest.
Oh, they still do. But
is that still open?
Exit and Quest is still there. Aye.
Oh, yeah, class! Yeah. I didn't realise that. Yeah, shout out to Exit and Quest if anyone's listening from there.
Absolutely, no, it's a brilliant store. But I think I'd like, no offence to the China, but I think I'd rather have that. To be honest,
but that's because you can buy all your Stone Island gear for there.
See, for the younger players, you would think they would fancy that more than a Spaddy, but then you never know.
Well, I think Philip Lisa certainly is, because he's been there that often this season that he's getting a wee bit fed up with it now.
You could probably say the same about Leon McCann as well. Again, the wee man just... That. Now, clear this up for me. Leon, I thought, had another year to go on his contract. Everyone else has said... My God, right. Get him signed up straight away.
Definitely.
You know, I'm very surprised that hasn't happened yet.
I think that will be soon.
I will. Yeah.
See the way that they've gone with the contracts. I think what they do is they're all on the table. But, so I think what they do is it's agreed in principle, and then they just kind of wait for a right time. So, for example, if we were to beat Dundee United, which hopefully we will, maybe they'll announce something just before the semi final as a wee kind of like boost for everybody.
Like Craig Sibbald, you mean, Stevie?
Well, you started that rumour last week. And I heard yesterday from somebody else that was... I said, oh, Ross started that one last week. So I don't know anything, honestly.
The most surreal rumour last night was that a barber in Falkirk who cuts players' hairs... as said, it's happening. So you kind of get close on a barber because you tell your barber everything, don't you?
That's true. So true. So we'll wait and see what happens here. But yeah, I mean, to a man, everyone on that pitch, so Scott Bain, again, just distribution as outstanding. Didn't have anything to do, really, Scott Bain. But again, just shout out, because we mentioned everybody else, we might as well put a shout out for Scott Bain's distribution yesterday as well. But no, unbelievable, outstanding performance. Great to see it. You know, here for it. We're getting to that point now where it's like, you know, there was someone who was going to take a pump in, and it was Kilmarnock yesterday, and long may it continue. And by God, we've got that Kilmarnock monkey off our back now, haven't we? Buddy, three wins out of three this season against them.
So well done to one of the Kilmarnock directors who I've been having a bit of banter with him before the game and talking about the monkey on our back and all. And he says, ah, it's gone now. And he came in at the end of the game and he just looked at me and smiled and says, felt we were a bit unlucky today.
I did.
Fair play to him, you know, he took it well. Like, he took it well.
I was the same, Steve. I got my mate Gavin Wallace, radio presenter, used to do the stadium announcer at Kilmarnock, and he's like, Jesus Christ, he's like, I'm glad I don't have to see you on Monday. How good are your lot, by the way? So I think there's a lot of acknowledgement from opposing teams that actually how good a footballing team that Falkirk are, you know. And if it wasn't, I know the Lanarkshire Galacticos are getting all the praise this season. I would say, I mean, Motherwell are a very good footballing team, but I would say we're there or thereabouts in second.
I would say Neil McCann in Sports Scene, basically just said we're beaten by the better team. I can't say anything any more than that.
No,
end of story. And that was just,
if you could say anything else, Neil, you would be a liar. I'll tell you that much. Right, okay, brilliant. Talk about Neil McCann, that's what he had to say. Let's hear what Mr. McGonn had to say.
John, congratulations on that impressive victory. How would you sum up the game?
I'm absolutely delighted. Team played remarkably well. We got a great start in the game. Calvin was on fire right for the, you know, first whistle. He goes down the outside, puts in a wicked kinny cross, which their defenders put in their own goal. So it's a bit unfortunate for them, but it's a great start for us. And we continued that fast start, and we score another goal. I've not seen it back yet. I've got to take it that VAR came to the right decision. I don't know if they did or not, but if they have, then that's what it's for. You know, it's there to get the decisions right, and if that was right, then fair enough. But we kept it going. And from a corner kick that we've worked on the training ground, Barney gets a flick on, and Dylan's here to put it in at the back of the net. So 2-0. Really, really good start for us, and you know, we managed to build on it. Another corner kick, it went to the back area, call with a strike, and Barney's in the right place at the right time to header it in. So, you know, delighted to be 3-0 up. Very, very similar to the previous game we played against Kilmarnock here. However, you know, we a little bit moment of disorganisation, a little bit for us, which is a little bit frustrating. And fair play to Kelly, they scored a good goal, it's a good strike. Yeah, and there's a wee strike just before it that Scott took very easily. But we can't be given, you know, away opportunities like that. But as I say, fair strike, and to a certain extent it was game on, but I thought we continued to attack. Big Barney had a good header saved by the goalkeeper. So half time, you know, it was a matter of, you know, you know, we're doing really well in the game, we're playing really well. Yeah, they've got a goal back, no to panic, let's get a good start in the second half, and that's exactly what happened. Calvin once again on fire, and Barney in between the sticks, very similar to goals that he scored against Hibs, and a great finish. And of course then, some good play. I think Ben's, Brogio, he's set up for Dylan's shot, and so you're five, and there was one where we thought between Barney and Calvin they might have got the ball over the line, and that came from a shot again, might have been from Ben, that was hit the post and went across the goal, and we're a bit unlucky. So yeah, delighted. It's a great response to losing at Tynecastle last week. Obviously we lose the week before that against Dundee United out here, so we've bounced back with flying colours, an own goal. Dylan gets two, Big Barney gets two, some outstanding performances throughout the whole team, everyone was magnificent, even the boys that came on did really, really well, so couldn't be happier. Yeah, got to remember, I mean, Kilmarnock have been getting good results recently, you know, they beat Aberdeen, they beat St Mirren, they took Celtic to the last kick of the ball, and they scored, you know, a goal late last week against Dundee United to get a draw at Tannadice. So they've been going along well, and so we've got a huge pat on the back to the players. The effort and the quality of the play that they did today was outstanding, and it was brilliant to to hear the fans and the whole stadium. You know, the ultras have been brilliant, but when they've been starting it, you know, you had the whole stadium, all the Falkirk fans, anyway, you know, the noise, and you could see the atmosphere, great backing for the players the whole game. And, you know, can't thank the fans enough for everything that they're doing to help us on our way.
Totally agree with him. Totally agree with him.
Yeah. Yep. One question 4 minutes later. It was Josh Heggie from Falkirk TV answering the question. And by the way, congratulations to Adam, who's our media officer at the Falkirk Stadium. He's just had a baby as well. So presumably Adam's on paternity just now. So Josh was asking the questions this week. So and by the way, the go-up continues. I quite like... Do you know... We're in a world now where you look at a manager's clobber, especially a man of John's vintage as well. I quite like that overshirt he was wearing, I'll be honest with you.
I was thinking exactly the same thing. I really
like that overshirt. Now he's a fashionista now, John. Like, honestly, smash it out the park with his glow.
You need to start a fashion podcast now, John, like, yeah.
We're getting fashion tips from John McGlynn.
Stevie, maybe you need to do this in the boardroom, right? Get rid of the shirt and tie, right? Get yourselves over to Flannels, or indeed Exit and Quest. Go and get yourself a nice wee T-shirt, over shirt. You'll be rocking it. You'll be rocking it.
It's taking that long to get the shirts and ties back. I can't see that changing.
Oh, brilliant. But I know, but John, but obviously happy as Larry. Couldn't he be happier? I think that was for the scheme. Marvin for the scheme said that.
Definitely wouldn't have been Marvin Bartley saying it, would it?
after that, what a performance. Let's hear what you guys had to say after the match. Yesterday, kicking off as Chris says, 7 invincibles in that starting 11 today from our League One win season, all of them showing how comfortable they are at this level and how well coached they've been over the past 3 seasons. Top 6 all but secured now, and we only have to look up. I mean, we haven't talked about it, but you can't see us. I think mathematically, we only need 3 more points. Mathematically secure it, but that means obviously Aberdeen and Dundee United have to go and win all their games. And
it could also be confirmed this week, because Dundee United hosts St Mirren, Aberdeen hosts Celtic, and should they not pick up 3 points, then it's
goal difference. There would still be a goal difference.
Is done.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
So Scott, at that point, that basically makes John McGlynn the best manager of all time, then. Eh?
I don't think there's a question now. There is no question now that John McGlynn is the best Falkirk manager ever. I don't think there is a question now. There's, you know, you could argue Jim Brefies took us to 5th. You know, Yogi kept us up, you know, in the top 5. But for a man to not only go invincible in one season, to then go and win back-to-back championships, to then get Falkirk Football Club into the top 6... There is no.
This argument. Is all before winning the Scottish Cup in May as well. So
we were talking yesterday about the kind of the journey that we've actually had, and you go back to the dark days when you remember we were really struggling, and then we had it all sort of started coming together. We got Crunchy Carrots come in, and they kind of sponsored us, a local company.
Then Falkirk Daft podcast started, Stevie. The Falkirk Daft.
Sorry, then we kind of built up, and you know how. Fans have always had this thing about the slogans that we've had over the years. Like, you know,
but see that the slogan shite can get in the bin, though. I'll tell you this right now: the slogan shite. He loves it. Lose, we don't lose, we learn, boy. Up here, maybe you should write it. Road the rum for it, Ross. But you know, this, we go together, pish and all that. Get that in the bin.
No, I think that's it. We've done it.
Oh, Stevie, you start on this marketing bandwagon?
Love it, Stevie. Love it. We have done it together. He's bang on.
John, you've got to be honest. I mean, we're a fan zone club. Jamie Swinney, you've had him on recently. He's fantastic. I think he's a great chief executive. He talks proper football. And everybody's just kind of together, and we're on this journey, and it's great.
Fuck me.
It's just hopefully it will keep going and keep going and keep going. But we know, as Falkirk fans, eventually something's
it can't continue unless we win the Champions League.
As you said at the very start, it's a great time to be a Falkirk fan.
You're right now, though, Ross, because if we've got top 6, I mean, the Scottish Cup is, I mean, it's a massive game. Massive game against Dundee United on Friday at the stadium. Because you can pretty much say top six is ours now, right? So that's it. I do think we probably, I think the Hibs have got too much in them to maybe get into that fifth position.
I disagree. Yeah.
You said last night, we had this conversation last night, and you said, I think fifth's probably beyond us, and now you've changed your tune.
I've slept on it. I think they can be got at. Right. I think, but it won't matter because fifth only gets you Conference League. Winning the Scottish Cup gets you Europa League. So that's what you want. Going back to what Stevie says, though, and you said it there as well, John. We've got ourselves in such a good position. We have done it together. I know you don't like hearing that, right? But we have done it together. And if you don't have a dream, how can you have a dream come true? That's all I'm going to say.
Is that not an S Club 7 song, no?
No idea.
Ever had a dream come true? It's probably lyrics from us. Jesus Christ, Ross. Do you know what? I expected from him, Stevie. I'm disappointed in you. That's all I'll say. Right. Scott says, the best display of football we've put on show for well over a decade. Another baffling VAR decision could have ruined our day, but a combination of us playing as well as we did and Kelly capitulating from about 30 seconds in made it a scoosh on the Bairns. Nice one for Scott. Paul, 5-1 flattered Kelly. Exceptional stuff. Total. When the team plays like this, it's a joy to watch. Lisa was just ridiculous. Tate was class. I think Paul's written this when he's drunk. Whole team looked so comfortable out there. Marvellous. Brendan, hard to summarise how good we were within this Twitter word count. Let's just describe it as a game of two McCanns. Leon McCann, Chef's Quest, mwah. Neil McCann, mwah. get doing. That's from Brendan there. Lulu says that was sexy today. That is all. The man's a buffoon. We are watching a proper team right now. This is a squad that can compete with anyone. Long may it last. Philip Lisa can go to the highest level. He's a special player. Pity we won't be able to keep him and make him our own. A special season unfolding. DM McPhee, Doogie McPhail. If it was 10-1, Kelly couldn't have complained. Totally dominated first minute to last. Finny Esther, man of his match for his constant running, deserved a goal rather than hitting the post. Ek says, hard to pick a man of the match. Thought Yeats, McCann, Tate and Barney were at their best. As much as Cole's captain, I'd still rather have Hendel and Allen as the pairing at the back. Interesting. Allen is very good, and you have to feel sorry for Connor because he's just fallen outside, and then someone's got the jersey, and then the rule is they kind of keep the jersey. Calvin Miller was my unsung hero, made everything tick, says True Brit. And finally, Paddy says, we've known it for a while, but Dylan Tate is a ridiculous footballer. He'll go on to a big contract, hopefully down south, next season. Just a joy to watch. Big shout out for McCann as well. Really top performance. So there you go. That's what you guys had to say on the match. It is time to nominate, and this is the hardest decision of the day. Who is our Falkirk Daft rated player?
It is tough after yesterday. After what happened to him the week before, and having seen the smile on his face after the game yesterday, I'm going to go Barney. I thought he took his two goals very, very well. He deserved it after last week as well, because he personally put himself through a bit of a ringer last week, which I don't think was fair enough. But I'm going to say Barney.
Yeah. Stevie?
There's so many of them. There's so many. Barney, yes, you could say for coming back after that, because last week, I felt so, so sorry for the guy when you watched that video last week. That was so depressing. But for me, Dylan Tate was by far the most outstanding player yesterday. I thought he just bossed that home game. And I said that to him yesterday. I just couldn't take it away from him. I think he thoroughly deserved that.
That means I've got the cast. Can't be, I just be like primary school, say, like, no one's going to be a loser here. Because I've got the cast. Can we do? I do think after Dylan scored the second, he didn't even complete a pass after that. I will say that. But it was great to see him back in the shit. And he's an amazing midfielder, Dylan Tate, and he's just raised his game. And I totally agree with you, Ross. Barney, you know, just with what he went through and put himself through the ringer last week. So I'm going to split the Falkirk Daft Rated Award this week, and we're going to half of it to Barney, we're going to half of it to Dylan. Does that make sense?
Fair. That's fair. Right, okay. No arguments with that.
Like, Barney's first one. Oh, no, it's his second one of the season. Obviously got it against Hibs as well.
I was going to say, you had to get it that day.
Barney and Dylan's second one of the season for him. He got it when we played Rangers as well. So well done, Dylan and Barney. I'm sure this will be an accolade that you'll put, record this and put it on your socials, but you are the Falkirk Daft rated players of the week. Falkirk Dafty, have we got one? Because I've got one.
What's your one, John?
So, Stevie, I'm going to talk you through a scenario, right? Because I was raging, and I was raging specifically on Ross's behalf, right? And I hope this guy's listening to the podcast. We won't have his name. Do you know his name, Ross?
No.
Right, fine. Anyway, so last night, myself and Ross were hosting the Scott Arfield and Russell Latapy night. Everyone had a great time, I think. Pretty much everyone enjoyed it. Feedback was lovely. Brilliant stories from both Scott and Russell. Everyone kind of laughing along, having a drink, enjoying their meal, enjoying the music, you know. And then at the end of the night, so we've been working all day, knocking our pan in, running from here to there, everywhere. And this guy at the side of the stage came up and had a go at Ross for not asking his question when we did the Q&A. Now, I'm sorry, sir, right? So but he had a right go at him saying, you're just like, what was his words to you?
I'm a bit of a politician, choosing which questions were asked. And that was the long story.
Basically having a go at Ross, right? And he kept in Ross's ear 5 minutes. Now, I missed this whole thing, right? But if I had caught this whole thing, I would have went through him like a ton of bricks. Now, sir, he did say to you, Ross, what? He said, I won't be listening to...
Oh, yes, he was a listener, but he won't be listening going forward because he's disgusted.
Well, I'm glad for once, sir, that you don't listen to this fucking podcast. Now, here's a couple of things. There was 200 people in that room last night, over 200 people, right? Everyone's asking a question. We only have a limited time. We do not have carte blanche to talk to 3 o'clock in the morning asking a question. And do you know what? I filtered through the questions and your question was probably shite. And thus it was not asked on the night. Okay. So next time you come up and offer constructive criticism, I will gladly accept constructive criticism. But to go after someone has been boxing their plan in all day and then coming up and having a go at them, fuck off, mate. I hope you don't listen to this podcast.
Fair to say you're a wee bit upset there, John.
I honestly, Stevie, if I had caught this guy having a go at Ross, I would have went absolute through him because it was ridiculous. Anyway, he said he'd put it on Facebook. Mate, I hope you do put it on Facebook. I really do hope you put it on Facebook and more. He didn't ask my question. He didn't ask my question. Fuck off. Anyway. There we go. Falkirk Dafty of the week. That guy at the side of the stage last night, having a go at poor Ross. Go away. That's it.
I don't think you can say any more than that.
There we go. Thanks. I've got that off my chest now. Fabulous. Fabulous.
You can relax now. You can relax.
Absolutely. I've got to say before we get into Falkirk Daft Versus, thank you very much to our sponsors, the Falkirk Football Fans and Training. Get down to the stadium every Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30. They've got the Elite Academy and Legends section, Overs 50 section as well. Stevie, interested in getting involved?
I don't think I could do that. I retired when the strip didn't go over my belly.
You can get fit, it can help your mental health. And Stevie, you would have seen the boys in hospitality. They're never out of hospitality, the boys in the TAs.
Yeah, good.
Great bunch of lads. Get involved with them. We'd love to see you down there Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30. We're the Falkirk Football Fans in Training, and we appreciate all the guys there. If you want to get in touch, the link is below. You need to be over 40, no ex-pros, obviously. Imagine if you turned up at the Falkirk Football Fans training, there's something like crunchy there or something like that. But get in touch with either Ian or Willie. The link is in the bio, and it'd be great to see you down at the stadium every Wednesday, 8:30, 9:30. And I lead it to it there, Stevie. We're going to do Falkirk Daft Versus. We might have written the back of this show in the back of a fag packet, but we still have Falkirk Daft Versus. And you are going up against Ross.
Okay.
Right.
I'm nervous about this one because Stevie
is quite...
You said that the last time against me and Alan and you beat us.
Stevie is pretty decent, I have to say.
No big build-up.
Right. Okie dokie. And it is a Russell Latapy themed quiz as we celebrated the magician back at the stadium yesterday. Honestly, so good to see him. So good to see him. Such amazing stories. Loved him. Loved him. Right. Okay. Question number one. Are you ready?
Yes.
What Portuguese club did Russell move to first? When he moved from Trinidad and Tobago, what Portuguese club did Russell move to first? He played for three Portuguese clubs, but what was his first club?
Try to remember if this came up in last night.
It actually did come up in conversation.
Oh, cheating. I get questions for last night.
See, be fair, this is actually back towards Ross because we've been doing research on Russell all week for the last night.
Right, okay. And I think Scott Arfield made a joke about this last night, so this is why I'm going with this one.
Stevie, what you got to do? Go for it.
I thought Porto.
Porto, Ross.
Did he say last night academical?
It's academia, but I'll give you that. I'll give you that, because Scott made a joke saying, Hamilton Academia. No, it was Academia. That was his first Portuguese club before moving on to Boa Vista and then Porto. Or it was Porto, then Boa Vista. And like we were looking last night, we were doing research. I didn't realise he played under Bobby Robson, and he was the first Trinidad and Tobago player to ever play in the Champions League. Good Russell Latapy facts that. And he played with Vitor Baia and Rui Jorge. It's like, what?
I know, because you would assume it would have been Dwight York, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. And you say you did talk about Dwight and how he was raging at that fact as well. So, it was good chat. So, Academia 1-0 Ross. Next question: who did Russell play against in World Cup? He played one game at the World Cup, but which country did he play against? Stevie Jackson, I think, might know this.
He didn't play against England, but who the hell?
I remember, like, I was in the pub watching it, and I was like, holy shit. I mean, and again, another good Falkirk fact is, a Falkirk player did play three games at the World Cup, but never kicked a ball for the club. The answer, Denzel Theobald. I love that stat. But who did Russell play against in the World Cup? Played one game. You writing some down, Ross?
I haven't, but I'll do it now. I think it's wrong.
Stevie, you got an answer?
I should know this because I got the three programmes and I got the three programmes and I got them for Russell as well. And Russell gave me his top, one of his tops, the team that he played against, and I can't remember. I thought it was England, but
No, it's not England, but
I can't. I'm trying to think of the other two teams.
And I was screaming, I remember screaming like, bring Russell on. Denzel Theobald, Mark and David Beckham. Wild.
Sorry,
back then, Ross, what are you writing down?
It's not right. I've went with Holland.
It was Paraguay.
Who was the other game against?
Sweden. That's Sweden. Because Zlatan was playing as well. And you think, fucking hell, imagine if Russell Appy got on against Zlatan, two of the greatest ever play the game.
That's one of the things that, you know, in the Heritage Trail, we've got the International Lounge, and players that have played for their club will get a board.
Yeah.
We're going to have one with Denzel Theobald, although he never actually played for Falkirk, but he got caps for country while he was a Falkirk player.
Amazing. Right, question number three then. 1-0 to Ross. One other Trinidad and Tobago player has played for Falkirk. Denzel Theobald, as we've said, didn't play for Falkirk. Can you name him? One other Trinidadian has played for Falkirk. Can you name him?
But it's played for Trinidad.
Yes.
I
hope there's not more than one, but I can only think of one when I wrote this question. You written down an answer?
I'm hoping it was Trinidadian. I can't remember now, but I'm hoping it was.
Stevie, what's your answer?
Colin Samuel.
Oh, fuck. Shit. There's two. I'll give you that. What have you written down?
I meant Ben Raheem.
That was the answer I had. And I totally forgot about Sammy, so that's it. 2-1.
So
there are two other Trinidad Tobago players that have played. How can I forget about Colin Samuel? And by the way, kudos for Ross for getting Brent Raheem, by the way.
That was a good one.
Super.
So Stevie got a point there as well.
Stevie, you both get a point because I'm a fanny. 2-1. There you go. I can't believe I forgot about Sammy. Obviously, remember that hat trick against Hearts because I watched it. It was great. Right, okay. 2-1 to Ross. Right, who? It's a 50-50 ball then. Who did Russell play more games for? Was it Hibs or was it Falkirk? Hibs or Falkirk? Write down your answer, Ross.
Games for?
Yeah.
Right.
Right, brilliant. Okay, written down some. Stevie, what are you going for?
I was talking to Russell yesterday about that, and he was at Falkirk for 5 years. So yeah. I'm going to go Falkirk.
Ross?
I've said the same, but for a different reason, because I'm sure he mentioned in the fan zone that we were the biggest team, the most games he'd ever played for any team, I think.
Falkirk is the correct answer. 3-2. Final question. Need Ross to buckle on this one, Stevie. Ross, you just have to get the answer correct. Who is Russell the current assistant at? Who is Russell the current assistant manager at?
No idea.
It can't be this obvious, but I don't know otherwise, so I'll just put this.
No doubt you got this in the fan zone, or you got it last night as well.
No, we didn't talk about
that. That would be three of your four answers.
Always cheated, yesterday. Never defeated, Stevie Jackson.
Well, we didn't actually talk about what he was up to now.
No,
at
we
all.
Didn't. We actually didn't.
You know, as far as I was aware yesterday, when he spoke to me, all he was doing was playing golf.
Probably.
Well, yeah. What have you written down, Ross?
It sounds too obvious, but I've read Trinidad.
No.
He's correct, it's Trinidad
Tobago.
Trinidad and Tobago, which is the third time he obviously was manager for two seasons.
He got sacked for them.
Aye, but then he went back as assistant in 2017, and then he went back as assistant, his current assistant from 2024, according to the current facts I've got in front of me. I didn't realise as well he was the manager of Barbados for 3 years.
Yeah, I knew that.
What a gig that is.
He was doing an assistant manager's job in Australia with Dwight York as well.
Yeah, that's correct. Aye, he was. I remember that because when we were meant to be doing that original night, he was getting phoned in from Australia for it. But there you go, Russell, current assistant of Trinidad and Tobago. I did ask him last night, would you consider coming back as Falkirk as a coach? Would you consider moving from the Caribbean to Garran Shore? But he did. He said it was. He said he wouldn't mind coming back, you know. So
he said to me that if we get to the final, he'll come back for the final.
Oh, well,
he'll come back for the final.
Hope so.
That'll be
so.
Good when you and John can lead the team in the final. But,
as mascots. 4-2 win for Ross Wayne, Stevie Jackson. My apology. It was stacked in his favour this week.
To be fair, I'm taking that as a 2-each draw.
That's fine. That's fine. Listen, Stevie, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast this week. Really appreciate your time. If you're heading to hospitality, go into the boardroom and you'll hear the same old stories from Stevie every week without fail. Get yourself a glass of champagne and listen to Stevie tell you about all the trophies that we've won. So you can do that. If you're signed up to hospitality, get yourself to the boardroom and say hello to Stevie. All right.
Thanks very much, guys. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Cheers, Stevie.
Thank you.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, stay local, eat and drink global.
Thanks very much then to Stevie for going over the game with us, and what a great game to go over. Brilliant, loved that. Absolutely loved that game yesterday. And that's almost us done for this week's episode of Falkirk Daft. But we've got to go and say thanks very much to Behind the Wall. Russell was talking very highly of Behind the Wall last night on stage at the Arfield and Latapay night, because we did ask the boys, you know, are you gutted that Rosie's isn't open anymore? And then I think one of the questions from the audience was, what night did you prefer in Rosie, Thursday or Saturday? What a sensational question that is. What were you, Thursdays or Saturdays in Rosie's? I was a Saturday kind of guy. I never really went up on a Thursday because I was a student.
Oh, no, I think we did both for a couple of years, our later years in high school and stuff.
The Rosie's
like.
Double. Did you go to Unders at Rosie's?
No, the Unders was on a Friday night, wasn't it?
I remember going to the Unders at Rosie's back in the day.
No, we did Thursdays. Rosie's was this is going to make us sound like proper alkies at 18 or whatever we were, but you had gone to FK1. Remember FK1? You'd gone there because it was a tenner, all you could drink. So you'd have an hour in there,
I
smash
admit, by
that.
the way, what a wild time that was. FK1, if everyone remembers FK1 up the tune.
10 quid unlimited drinks. That is
Wild.
insane, isn't it?
Wild. We're
You
definitely
then,
old.
and this is not like 1980, this is like
It was like
99 or
2000.
2000 or something like that. And along to the canteen, get your cheap, or Icons as it's now known, go into the canteen, get your cheaper Rosie's ticket, and then down the hill into Rosie's. There we go, that
Boom.
was a Thursday. But
What a time to
it
be
was
alive. And of course,
amazing.
we all drank it behind the wall as well, and they sponsor this podcast every week. Thanks very much to Brian. As I said, Russell kept talked fondly of behind the wall and nights out in behind the wall last night when he was on stage, as did Scott as well. And you can get there yourself. Loads of stuff coming up there. And of course, the Falkirk Daft Venom is original. It is exclusive to Behind the Wall. We're going to be doing our very own night there. Save the date. Falkirk Daft Live is coming on the 15th of May. Me and Russell were slightly talking about guests and who we're going to do, because we're just like, oh, how do we top the last one? And I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what we're going to do for this one. Hey, maybe I could say to Scotty, we did him a favor last night. Maybe he'll do us a favor. Yeah,
Very true. That is very true.
that'd be good. So we'll see what we can do for that. End of season party is on the 15th of May, the day before hopefully what will be our last game of the season now, because it looks like we're going to be
That's
top
it.
six. So
Amazing.
that'll be 15th of May. In the meantime, 27th of March, you've got ABBA Dream. You've got a George Michael tribute in there on the 3rd of April. Would you think of that? Are back at Behind the Wall on the 24th of April. There's a Stereophonics tribute band. Oh my God, we are getting old to the point that there is now a Stereophonics tribute act. The Phonics are in Behind the Wall on the 25th of April. And Tam Cowan from Off the Ball, he's going to be there for an afternoon with Tam Cowan on the 26th of April. All the details are at behindthewall.co.uk. And thanks very much for the pub for the continuous support of this podcast. We really appreciate it. And remember, obviously, tickets for the Dundee United game and the Cup game, I'm sure, will be on sale. I'm gutted. I've just found out, I thought we were getting a night off from doing the 1876 Lounge. I had this whole dream scenario of me and you, Ross, going up to Behind the Wall, getting a few drinks in before the game, getting the bus down, couple of drinks, celebrating our journey into the semi-final. Nah, we're having to work now, so never
We can
mind.
go to Behind the Wall to celebrate after the
Yeah, do you
game.
know what? We'll see you up there for 100%. If we win, we're going up to celebrate. Because getting to Hampden for, well, we're no strangers to Hampden. You know what I mean? So it would be great if we did that. So we'll see you up behind the wall on Friday, is what we're saying. So there you go. Thank you very much for listening to Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for watching. If you're doing it that way to see our beautiful faces, you can do that. If you're listening and you want to go, I wonder what those guys look like. YouTube is what you want to check. Type in Falkirk Daft and get us where you get your podcast. If you're listening to YouTube and you want to, this has gone vice versa now. So if you're watching it and you want to listen to it, you can get us where you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple Music, because then you're linking, I'm going out for the walk with the dog, but I can't see John and Ross's beautiful faces. Well, you can listen to our beautiful voices. You do that and vice versa. There we go. So that's that. And we will be back, hopefully, this week to preview the Dundee United game. I always forget about the Thursday podcast until the last minute. I'm going to let you behind the curtain here, because I always go, oh shit, we've not recorded a podcast now. And generally it's like scrambling about for a guest. So, but I'm going to, right now, Ross, take the minutes. I'm going to message Callum Bell, the producer of STV's
Good
podcast,
idea. And see if we can book
and
him in
see if we
for
can get him booked in for Tuesday or Wednesday evening, and we'll get that sorted. So we'll be back doing that later on. So fabulous. Brilliant. See you on Thursday. What a win against Kilmarnock. What a night with Russell Lappin, Scott Arfield. I'm going to go and get my breakfast, get myself a coffee, watch the Old Firm, and you know, it's we're part of that club now, Ross. You know, we did, but that, you know, we could be kingmakers. We could be kingmakers in this league this season. I can't wait to
We
be there.
will be.
Absolutely.
We could be.
Bring them all
Absolutely.
On. Come on. Let's have them all. Brilliant. Right, we'll see you hopefully back for the podcast preview on Thursday. Until that time,
expect unexpected. Wonder bounce.
What folk are that? What folk are that? Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. What folk are that? What folk Folkerdaft. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Folkerdaft, we're Folkerdaft. For everyone who's caring about being a Folkerbear, we're Folkerdaft. We are Folkerdaft.